Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do the whole show like Tom Hardy and Peaky
Blinders. Oh, please don't say that.
Go on.
I don't think so, no.
It's easy. Yeah. You've done it.
No, I don't think so.
Right, sponsored by Backway.
You just sign the fucking form there.
Yeah.
And that's it.
No, listen, Tom, all right. We've got to sort him out. I'm Arthur Shelby.
No, I don't think so, no.
It's basically, you know, remember Billy Kimber in the early episodes, if you saw that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Billy fucking Kimber!
Yeah.
He's not even from London in real life.
Peter!
Drink it! Yeah.
I don't want to drink it, right? Drink it.
But as much as I loathe that, I also sort of love it as well.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Just enjoy yourself. Everything doesn't have to be high-minded. And on that note, let's get on with the show.
Get on with the fucking show.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. All right.
There you go. That's what it's up there with the great pattern of one word impression, because you've got your Tom Jones.
Ooh.
Yeah. You got your Nelson Mandela.
I've got more than one noise with Nelson.
Okay, you.
Yeah, but that's Trevor Noah, to be fair.
Oh God! And you've got your Tom Hardy.
Exactly. That was Trevor Noah, to be fair. He talks about the accent and how he influenced Barack Obama.
Oh, you could probably do Barack, could you? If we worked on it, you could probably do Barack.
Oh, look.
Do you want to settle yourself with a Nick Hewer? To get yourself back to Earth?
Oh, Nicky baby. Right, here we go. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. What a night for the British clubs in Europe. And the FA Cup returns tomorrow. It's Friday, 15th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Oh, everybody, it's a good, good Friday. Isn't it just...
Yeah.
We've washed our faces in the morning sun, Luke Moore.
Yeah.
We're in the studio. We're in the afterglow of the Europa League and the Europa Conference League. And we've got the FA Cup to look forward to. What more do you want from a Friday other than a crunchy?
Well, that is going back. That is going right back. No, there's nothing more I want. It's been an amazing night of football. No, to be honest, it's been an amazing week of football, really.
It has.
We didn't have the privilege of talking yesterday about what happened,
mm-hmm.
But we can do it today, and I'm bloody looking forward to it.
Bloody looking forward to it. Andy, how you doing, brother?
Yeah, pretty good. If you're asking what more one could want from a Friday, maybe a short statement from Olympic Lyonnais would be nice.
Your beloved Lyon, Andy. I mean, I'm surprised you've got such a spring in your step today, because you are a Lyon fan, and your boys took one hell of a beating. 3-0 by West Ham, 4-1 in aggregate.
I'm very disappointed you haven't got a list of people from Leon.
Well, Andy, I'm
going to roll out Norway style.
You must be disgusted with West Ham because they put out your beloved Sevilla and they put out your beloved Leon.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know what I mean?
All you got, left. Did they beat FC Wimbledon in the cup?
No, sadly.
I feel like they did that fairly recently, though.
A couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But we beat West Ham in the FA Cup.
Okay, right.
In what was, I think, the worst performance I've seen from a Premier League team in an FA Cup competition. But we shouldn't be talking about that because West Ham were amazing.
Speaking of poor performances, I'm starting to think that being the manager of Olympic Lyonnais is Stanley Tucci's worst role yet.
Oh, I love a bit of Tucci.
Yeah. Peter Bosch does look like a rubber-faced Stanley Tucci.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I see what you mean.
Stanley Tucci could organise a defence better, probably.
Yes.
I chose so. Andy, you were telling us that Leon are poor. We didn't realise they were this poor.
Look, West Ham had exactly the tools to get at them. And we saw that in the first leg before Cresswell got sent off, which completely changed the game. Now, I think Leon missed a trick in that they battered West Ham in the second half of the first leg, but without really working Areola that much.
No,
and that should have been a sign. And I think similarly, mm-hmm. they had their chances, you could say, in the first half hour of the second leg. Last night. But generally, West Ham just looked more organised. I think if you look at the two teams, you're looking at one team that is coached very well and beyond its potential, mm-hmm. and one team that is very undercoached and less than the sum of its parts. But if you think in terms of the way Leon are when they lose the ball and what West Ham can do through Bowen and Antonio, particularly in those wide areas, they were always going to be able to get at them. But it was such a disciplined performance from West Ham.
Well, it needed to be, but considering they had makeshift centre-halves.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. When you look at the teams that do really well in the Europa League, it always feels as if they're on their absolute uppers towards mm-hmm. the end of the season, because they're not the sort of elite level clubs who are able to rotate. And, you know, you look at how the Champions League is testing and will continue to test. Like Liverpool and Manchester City, etc. We'll come to them in a bit. But it's not unreasonable for something to have to give somewhere for West Ham or Villarreal. You know, you look, since they've started doing really well in the Champions League, it's textbook Emery. You know, everything has gone into Europe and they've started falling away in the league. And I think it's inevitable and fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned the changes and the season being long, blah, 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 blah. Mm. Obviously, they had a bye in one of the rounds in this tournament. That's what they earned and that's how it works. But no manager has made fewer changes to his starting 11 in the Premier League than David Moyes. And yet they've sustained this run in Europe, Luke Moore. Yeah, it's been very impressive.
If they get to the Europa League final, they'll have played 57 games this season.
Yeah.
Which is a big old slog, isn't it?
Antonio will have earned his break.
He would have done. Well, Antonio is just, honestly, the spine of that West Ham team is amazing. The work that Antonio gets through is incredible.
It is.
I mean, even though, you know, he's not had a great scoring run, I know he said before the game he was going to score and wink at Dembele, but sadly that didn't happen. But he just leads from the front. He sets the tone for the whole rest of the team. And they're such a well-balanced team. And I agree with Andy about the coaching. You know, Diop has to come in. You know, Cresswell goes out. They have to make changes. They're enforced changes, but everyone comes in and knows their job. Mm. And I don't watch Peter Bosch teams as much as Andy regretfully has to. But mm-hmm. I would say that, you know, I can remember when Bosch was manager at Dortmund and they went for that mad spell leading up to December where he lost his job. But they just could not stop getting caught on the break. He couldn't balance them at all. And there was a mad game against Schalke where they drew 4-4.
Yeah, where they were 4-0 up.
Yeah, it was incredible. And it seemed here that, look, I understand it's knockout football. I understand that when West Ham score that goal, relatively early in the game, given the context, and they score another one just before half-time, which changes the complexion of the whole thing. I know Olympically and they really have to come out, and just because Peter Bosch is a whipping boy at the moment for Andy, it doesn't mean that he didn't do the right thing to try and get a result, because they were going to go out anyway. Mm-hmm. But I was really disappointed.
How is the defending anything to do with the result? I mean, you concede three goals like that at any level, you ain't winning anything.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think the second goal was a weird one, because Ndombele doesn't get out to Rice anywhere near quick enough, but Rice is actually very fortunate. The finish is very, very poor. Like, he doesn't catch it at all as he wants to.
I know
to,
what you mean.
And the slight deflection takes it over the goalkeeper's hand. The keeper saves that all day long. If the irony being, Ndombele's so poor getting out to him, he might have just not bothered. Because if he had not bothered, the keeper saves it.
So that happened just before half-time.
I don't know if that keeper saves it.
Well, okay, fair enough. That happened just before half-time. What I'm saying is, it's understand he's not going to be the first coach in, you know, European football history to go, right, we now need to do something and we're going to have to take risks. And that makes them look worse, I think.
Well, the defending, yeah, wasn't very impressive.
It was poor.
To the point of Joe Cole said, if I was Peter Bosch, I'd be smashing up the changing room.
It's Peter Bosch's fault.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Mm, okay, well, just smash away. I mean, you mentioned the winking there, Dembele winking, of course. Now, it's one of those things where, to me, that wasn't a thing. You know, as I say, no. He could be winking for a number of reasons. However, it is often how you galvanise a team and how you use these things.
To motivate
yourself, exactly. And clearly that West Ham used that massively.
I think it was a thing for West Ham for sure.
Massively, yeah. Declan Rice said that there were a few extra incentives to beat Leon. David Moyes echoed the sentiment saying, football is a strange way of coming back to get you, which, Luke Moore, reminded me of your old friend of mine, Terry Brown, former Aldershot manager, who once used a beautiful mixed metaphor, well, football's a funny old game and has a habit of coming back round and stabbing you in the foot. So I just thought I'd get that in there. Yeah. But it's not been an easy route for West Ham. As we know, they beat Sevilla, as we said earlier, who know that competition very, very well. Leon are out as well. They're in the semi-final. Their first major European semi-final since 1976. For some people, be like, blimey, that was a long time ago. And others will say, oh, did they get to a European semi-final? Yeah. Well, they did more than that in 1976, let me tell you. Mm. But David Moyes pointed out in the press conference that West Ham's journey from fighting relegation to European semi-final in 2 years is quite something. Yeah. And it is, Luke, isn't it? The transformation under Moyes. And as we said, and as many people said, of course, that you didn't really see this, I don't know, renaissance or whatever what you want to call it with Moyes.
It was not a universally welcomed appointment.
It wasn't a universally welcomed appointment. No, but to see it going this well, I don't think that many people perhaps would have predicted.
No,
to be fair to Moyes. I think it would have brought stability and all, but still fighting for Champions League spots in the league and in the Europa League.
Absolutely. I think that he is a manager that made probably some quite, in some cases, understandable decisions that in retrospect look to be a mistake. So obviously he couldn't have not gone to Manchester United. That, mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that was the right move for him.
Uh-huh. So he shouldn't have taken those crisps.
That's part of it.
But he did
compound his managerial career kind of decline, if you like, mm-hmm. Which has now, of course, been resurgent. By making quite a poor decision. I mean, Sunderland was probably a poor decision. Going to Spain was a poor decision. It's easy for us to say in retrospect. But I think what that does, because football is so constant and there's so many characters and there's so many things happening, it's probably quite a bit easier for football fans to just file him off in your brain and go, well, he's not very good anymore.
Yep.
He's one of that generation that keep getting jobs for no reason, even though they're shit. Mm-hmm. And obviously, West Ham's been a great fit for him and he's done a brilliant job. West Ham are a big club. They've got, you know, it shouldn't probably be forgotten. They've probably got a much bigger wage bill than Leon, for example, right? Is that fair?
Slightly bigger, yeah.
But what I'm saying is it's not because we think of Leon as being, oh, they've been in the Champions League knockout stages, and because they're Leon and because they've got players that we recognise.
I know what you're saying.
They're a good team. Yeah.
But player for player.
But you said they're not a good team.
They've got good players, they're not a good team.
Well, they've got a good tradition and history.
I think that's the difference, and that's why...
You said you want 9 of their players to not come back.
So, I mean, I did.
Yeah.
At least. No, but I think that's why all credit has to go to Moyes. It is an incredible job. Because the thing is, you can talk about the wage bill. What Moyes has done, more than anything else, is he has made signings that look like terrible signings now look like good signings. Mm-hmm. Pablo Fornals, who's probably man of the match, is the best example of that.
Yeah.
Who looked just terrible in his first season. I understand it takes a time to adapt, but the fact that he's worked on existing players, that is truly coaching.
I completely agree with that, and it's an excellent point, because you maybe don't think of Moyes as you don't think of him as bad, but you wouldn't think, oh, man management, a motivator, all those kind of things.
He's helped to make Declan Rice better.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But, I mean, if this is the happiest we've seen Moyes. I mean, he, we've said this as the tournament's gone on. If they can win it, my goodness. He said he wants his players to feel like they are favourites for the tournament, though. It can get better than this. It just can.
I mean, it was interesting, I thought, on the commentary where Ian Dark was saying towards
your favourite,
the
Ian
end,
Dark.
No, it's mine. I was slacking him off.
Oh, no, your favourite's Dempo. We'll get to him in a bit. Yeah, sorry.
I love Dempo.
You do.
If you're listening, I love you, Dempo. Yeah.
But, sorry, carry on.
Ian Dark was saying towards the end, well, if West Ham fans are hearing the other scores, they'll be disappointed that they've had their dream semi-final with Barcelona taken away from them. And Lucy Ward straight away on COCOM said, I'm pretty sure they're not.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're not. I mean, it's opening up. The competition is opening up for them.
It is. It absolutely is. You can't say. And unfortunately, unsavoury scenes at the end of the game as Lyon fans clash with stewards and police. Don't want to see that.
But I think
it's not West Ham's problem, though.
Yeah, but what is, I think, a problem for West Ham fans is there were lots of reports of them going there and being kettled for ages without water, taken around the houses. And, you know, this has happened to Leicester fans in Napoli this season. You know, we've had a lot of away fans, English away fans in Europe, treated really badly. And, you know, you had all this stuff on Spanish news earlier in the week about the hooligan invasion to Madrid of Manchester City fans. This, like, characterisation of English fans, I think we...
And Chelsea as well, because they were both there. I think they were worried that they were both.
I think we realise that English football has had issues in the past. But I have to say, this whole treating all English away fans as if they're suspects and criminals, it just has to stop. I mean, Europe has a problem with this, and you can't have people, you know, good people who are taking time off work, paying a lot of money to go to games and have a nice time with their friends and family, just like treated like this. It's something has to be done about
it.
Mark Noble to go out, didn't he? We didn't have to, but Mark Noble went out, pushed the stewards out of the way, and ran back out the tunnel and went over to see the fans because they were kept in there for so long.
Yeah, I think the problem is that Leicester fans, you know, they cause a bit of trouble in the centre of Madrid. You know, there have been these things, but the answer is not to kind of go heavy on absolutely everybody. It's not to go heavy, really, as the German police showed in World Cup 2006. Blah 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 blah. Gentlemen, we must move on to who West Ham will face in the semi final, because it will be Eintracht Frankfurt. They beat Barcelona 4-3 in aggregate and 1-3-2 on the night. And my goodness. Well, you talk about away fans. Eintracht Frankfurt seemed to take over the new camp, didn't they? There was, 30,000 of them or something?
It was a bit like Köln at Arsenal a couple of years back.
Oh, yeah. A bit like that.
Yeah, that was around here. I remember them all being around here.
Well, apparently, though, the Barcelona were urging their season ticket holders to give up their seats if they weren't going, which they did, but perhaps not in the way they thought. But I think because Barcelona are in this funny period at the moment, so maybe some season ticket holders are used to them winning the Champions League or at least seeing them in that tournament. Thought, no, we won't bother with the Europa League. Xavi was saying, come on, let's get a big game atmosphere. Da-di-da-di-da. They did give up their seats, and clearly a lot of them went to Eintracht Frankfurt fans, much to the anger of Xavi and Juan Laporta. But what a game it was, though. Frankfurt, they raced into a 3-0 lead. I mean, there was a late flurry from Barcelona, but I mean, you know, not enough, clearly. I mean, when you're scoring in the 101st minute to pull it back to within one goal.
Oh, but the ending was incredible.
It was an amazing ending.
When they got the penalty, Evan Ndika, the Eintracht Frankfurt defender, is sent off for his second yellow card for the foul that gives away the penalty. Memphis puts it on the spot. Trapp, despite going the wrong way, kind of saves it. He pushes it onto bar. Over the line. He thinks he saved it. They're trying to take the ball back off him, and he thinks the game's still going. It was absolutely amazing.
I was really impressed with Frankfurt, chiefly because fans are amazing. It'll be an incredible atmosphere in Eintracht Frankfurt for West Ham when they go there.
Yeah, you remember when Chelsea went there in the Europa League
Centre? Crazy.
It was incredible.
And Frankfurt have had a lot of changes around, right? They lost Ari Hütter, their manager. Mm. They lost Bobic as well. Didn't Bobic leave the club as well? So they've had a lot of changeover. They're also rebuilding a team that did really well a few years ago in Europe as well with Jovic and Haller and all those kind of players. Mm. So it's amazing they're still... So what I really liked about them, though, is not all that. And that's an interesting bit of background, I think. But I really like the fact that you'd probably expect a team with respect to Eintracht Frankfurt, of their reputation, going to the new camp and going, do you know what? The tie's poised. We'll just see how we get on.
They
absolutely steamrolled them. I don't think Barcelona expected it at all.
No,
Frankfurt went for it over and over again. They kept pushing. And
the Santos Borré goal is amazing.
A brilliant goal. Mm. I thought Busquets' goal was really good as well.
Yeah, it was. Lovely hit.
Lovely hit. So, I mean, look, I think, you know, the London Stadium atmosphere for the Lyon game looked amazing. It will be amazing in the semi-final as well. Of course, you know, I suppose there's part of you that thinks playing Barcelona will be good, particularly if you were to be able to beat them, because they're not the team that they once were. And you'd be absolutely delighted for Aubameyang to play up front based on that performance. But they're playing Eintracht Frankfurt. And I think it's It is there for them. And Leipzig are, I think, officially favourites with Betway, but yeah. West Ham will be right up there.
Well, all four sides who are left in the competition will all be thinking to themselves, this is here.
You won't get a better chance than this year.
Absolutely yeah. right. And of course, Rangers are in the semi-final against RB Leipzig. They beat Braga 3-1 after extra time, 3-2 on aggregate. Their first continental semi-final in 14 years. Van Bronckhorst called the game quite hectic. And he was right. I mean, we knew that Rangers would come out.
They almost fluffed it, didn't they?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they made it. Rangers made it quite hectic.
They really did. I mean, obviously, they early lead and then 2-0 up. And after the sending off, it looked all plain sailing for Rangers. And then, I mean, they're lucky that the away goals have been scrapped, of course, but you could say that about other sides as well this season. But Braga get themselves back into it. And then Rangers, they had some chances, all that kind of stuff. But then the second sending off for Braga, I mean, what an absolute idiot. Like, just the way he kind of confronted them. I'm glad the referee sent him off, because when he got booked and he went in his face, I remember thinking, you're really chancing your arm there.
Yeah, Carlos Carvalhal said afterwards that Yuri Medeiros would be subject to internal discipline.
Well, I'm glad he said that, because some managers would say, no, it's ridiculous, you shouldn't get booking booking for that, blah, blah, blah. But he's right. You know, can't... He basically squared up to the ref right in his face. You know,
Carlos Carvalhal's a lovely, lovely man
He's
as well.
Been in this very studio.
He has, and he's a gentleman. And I feel a little bit sorry that his team's gone out, because I looked at his face on the bench looking upset. I think as you've alluded to, maybe one or two of his players let him down. And I can't imagine him disciplining anyone, by the way. He's very, very nice.
For what it's worth, he might be back in this room quite quickly, because the president, Antonio Salvador, who's rather trigger happy, was not pleased with the first half performance.
He doesn't use this studio as a launch pad to get jobs.
Yeah. You know? He's welcome to. Very, very welcome.
He should.
Yeah, very, very welcome.
Yeah. But I think, you know, Rangers were helped out by those Braga players. Although, having said that, at 2-0, you know, they should have put the game to bed.
Yeah, they should.
But then Kamara have got his goal. And it went through, and the scenes at Ibrox are what we've come to expect from Ibrox on European nights as well. So they'll play RB Leipzig because they beat Atalanta as well. So a fascinating one. Who would you fancy, Andy? Because Luke's saying that RB Leipzig are the favourites,
and they should be in terms of the form.
How good are Leipzig?
The quality they've got, they're really good.
Right,
and they can't fill their stadium though, and that's a problem.
We'll get Eintracht Frankfurt fans to come in, or maybe Rangers fans travelling.
They will fill the stadium.
Do you reckon they will for the semi? I don't think they did for the quarter final.
Well, whether it will be the hot atmosphere.
It's not going to
be at Eintracht Frankfurt. Well, it won't be.
It's not going to be an Ibrox. It's not going to be a West Ham stadium, London stadium. It's not going to be at Eintracht Frankfurt.
No, that's true.
But with what you've seen of Rangers in Europe this season, beating Dortmund, which they were the earlier favourites.
That was incredible.
It was incredible. You've seen what they can do. Looking at this one, do you think Rangers are equipped to take on RB Leipzig and have a go? Or do you think RB Leipzig are just a little bit too good?
I think it'll be hard.
Right.
They're much, much better than Dortmund
at
present. They're much better than this current incarnation of Dortmund. They've got loads of forward options. Christopher Nkunku is on fire at the moment. He's brilliant. I think they will end up selling him for quite a lot of money this summer, even in a relatively flattened market. Mm. So forget the atmosphere stuff. They need to go out there and not get beaten.
Well, they'll forget the atmosphere until they go to Ibrox. I think that's fair.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It could be an all-German final, but it could be a Battle of Britain as well.
Amazing.
Come on.
Oh, that's what warms the heart, doesn't it? West Ham v Rangers.
Hey,
absolutely warms the heart, mate.
One for the lovelies.
Yeah.
So anyway, gentlemen, one more British side we've got to talk about. Leicester City, of course, down to the Europa Conference League we go. They beat PSV Eindhoven 2-1. I nearly said 3-1. They got over the top 2-1.
What a second half.
It was just end-to-end. Chances, goals, everything you bloody want. Leicester they're going to be in their first European semi-final, of course. Brother Brendy's substitutes at half-time made a bit of a difference with
difference.
Perez coming on and Lookman and Daka as well. Kasper Schmeichel made his usual good repertoire of saves, which was very enjoyable. PSV, unbeaten in 15 matches. They went 1-0 up. Talk about home support. Their support looked pretty good. Were you concerned about Leicester, Luke? Because, again, considering the game was open, they had missed a few chances. I don't know if PSV had as well. But you think about the quality Leicester have, you think, go on, lads, you can bloody well reach that semi-final.
But if you think I've been disrespectful about the Europa Conference League across the season, you just listen to Brendan Rodgers' comments, who was rather emotional when they got knocked out of the Europa League and said, I don't even know what the Conference League is. Yeah. He knows what it is now.
And he's enjoying himself.
Yeah, and he's changed his tune, and absolutely, that's fair enough. I think it's a really interesting thing because, you know, PSV got a goal up, as you say. PSV, I think, I was reading earlier, and I might have got this wrong, Andy will tell me if I have, they've been in the European football for 46 seasons in a row, PSV, right? Leicester don't have anywhere near that pedigree in European competition.
It's a fairly and also, recent thing.
PSV have quite a big wage bill. Yeah. Right, okay. You know, they're not small fry.
So, and for them to do that away from home after going a goal down, I thought was particularly impressive.
I thought that as well. Yeah. James Maddison just seemed to be on a mission to make sure Leicester got through and tucked his goal away very, very nicely.
What's really interesting is that if you take the British teams that we've talked about today, and actually, you could probably apply Eintracht Frankfurt to this as well. I'm not entirely sure about the other teams off the top of my head, but these are teams who now are looking at Europe as their real main focus. Yeah. West Ham aren't realistically going to get into the top four now. Mm-hmm. Leicester are obviously having it by their own standards, given what's happened the last few seasons, pretty poor time of it domestically. So they'll really focus on that to get into the Europa League and to get a European trophy, which would be massive for them. Rangers look like they're going to miss out to Celtic in the league domestically. Mm-hmm. And now they're all kind of putting their eggs in this European basket, which makes for a really exciting competition. Yeah, so and I think Frankfurt are, what, ninth in the Bundesliga or something like that?
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's different if you're in the position that Leicester or Eintracht Frankfurt are. But I think that idea, like, as a fan, you want to see a team try and win a trophy. And I think that's, you know, we can talk so much, even as fans, about, oh, it's important to make the top four and it's important for the financial health of the club. The way West Ham have gone about it, for example, you could strongly argue that their commitment to the Europa League, and they've gone through like two very exacting rounds just now, has cost them a proper shot at the top four.
Yeah.
But fine.
But if they win the Europa League, they'll be in the Champions League anyway.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know. I'd be interested to know, as a West Ham fan, would you take glorious defeat in the final ahead of getting in the top four?
Well,
I would hope so.
I think it's about memory. This is the thing, and it factors into the whole thing about the London Stadium as well. Yeah. Now, there are problems with the London Stadium. No one's saying there aren't. Think how bad it was in West Ham fans' view to be there however many years ago it was, right?
Well, this was how it was sold to West Ham fans. It's for big European nights, and then they get knocked out by Astra in the pre-round, don't they? In the pre-qualifier.
Far be it from me to defend the legendary Dildo Brothers, but is it not true, though, that part of what makes a stadium and part of the reason that they didn't want to leave the Bowling is because of the memories they had of it? Well, after this season, they're going to have a load of memories about a London stadium, and the atmosphere looked absolutely pumping against Lyon, as I've already said. So the point being that I would hope as well they would like to just prolong this European journey as much as possible because no one's going to... I mean, you are going to remember if you finish fourth. Of course, you're going to remember a Champions League campaign.
You remember an enjoyable season, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
Trophy.
It isn't the same.
But let's be honest, just to make this a little bit more of a West Ham loving, Spurs fans, when Pochettino, they talk very fondly of that era. Absolutely, loads of good memories, but they lack the trophy. And so that is the difference. So there we are. But yes, Brendan Rodgers and his boys will face Roma and Jose Mourinho.
That's great to see.
In the semi-final.
I wouldn't put it past Mourinho to win that.
No, nor would I. And I think for him to win it in its first season, I mean, it would be the ultimate happy. What am I talking about?
Talking about the Dildo Brothers.
Couldn't even get through that.
Leicester are playing Newcastle on the weekend as well. Back down to earth in the Premier League.
Back down to earth. That's a backhanded slight against the great Newcastle United, mate.
Well, I meant the Premier League, actually.
Okay,
UEFA Conference League is more important than the Premier League at this very moment in time to Leicester City players and fans. Talking of Newcastle United, just before we go for a break, indulge me, everybody. Their former saint and saviour, Alan Pardew, will be in charge of CSK Sofia this weekend. It's the so-called Eternal Derby in Bulgaria. They faced Levski Sofia. Mm. And Big Alan is going to be in charge.
Big Alan. Has he told you to call him that?
Sexy Alan, he said. I'll give you Big Alan.
King Alan.
Alan, yeah. Of course, remember he joined the club's the club's technical director in 2020. But their manager, CSKA's manager, stepped down this week. So Pardew will run the club on a short-term basis. So all eyes on that Eternal Derby in Sofia in Bulgaria.
Do we have any information as to where Alan was when the manager got fired? Because I've got Shakespearean manoeuvres behind the scenes.
I think he just leaned over and started eating his dinner and the manager knew it's time for me to go.
The great thing about that was when, I'd like us to repeat this very briefly for our listeners, is that when Pardew first joined CSKA Sofia, of course the army team in Bulgaria, the statement released was, "Army men, English football specialist Alan Pardew will henceforth be part of the big red family of the army. He will take the position of technical director and will help with his vast experience and contacts in the overall development of the club and attracting players to the representative team. The 59-year-old Briton has already signed his contract and started working immediately. Welcome to the army, Mr. Alan Pardew.
Come on!
I wish he wasn't the fucking army.
Ugh. Time for a break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
To run and does. Can he play a colleague through? It's Jacob Murphy released. Murphy one on one. Jacob Murphy to win it. Just put it in the net.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. It's time for emails.
Peter's jingle had a good run. We loved it once, but that love's gone. You can get in touch. Just email show at footballramble.com.
Yes, and hello to our friend Gavin, who's emailed in saying the following. I thought I'd give you an update on Fort William FC.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while, so great to hear from them. The Scottish football team that gained notability for going on a winless streak that lasted over 2 years across 73 games. Some media outlets, not this one, called them Britain's worst club. Well, on Monday, a draw confirmed that they would finish last in the Highland League. While the Fort have finished bottom of the Highland League 17 times prior to this season, that normally didn't matter as the Highland League is the lowest league in the Scottish pyramid. This season, that's all changed. A number of affiliated leagues, mostly junior leagues, Scotland equivalent like non-league, and all that kind of thing, have entered into the Scottish pyramid, and the last placed Highland League team must now defend their place in the league in a playoff against Banks of DFC.
Banks of D.
If Fort William lose this playoff, then, quote, Britain's worst club will find that things can get even worse.
It can get worse than this.
Do you think we could interest them in an out the match?
That'd be great. Listen, Fort William isn't the nicest town in Scotland, but it's the base of Ben Nevis, and it's definitely worth visiting. Since Gavin's email, Fort William actually beat Strathspey Thistle 4-2 for their first win of the season. It's the only game they've won this season. Mm. They're on 7 points with two games to go, 11 points behind Turriff United in 17th. So nothing's going to change there, but at least they have got a win, something to give the fans. If Fort William are listening, we'd love to do an at the match there.
Yeah, even though Luke just slagged off your team.
No, actually, it's not the nicest town in Scotland, because it's not. It's not the worst.
Okay, right. Yeah. It's important you said that bit.
Yeah, okay, fine.
What is the worst?
What is the worst town in Scotland?
I've heard it's Airdrie.
Why am I even considering answering this? Yeah.
Show at footballramble.com if you can tell us the worst town in Scotland.
Thanks for the email, though, Gavin. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gavin. Do appreciate that, gentlemen. Back to domestic matters. Manchester City versus Liverpool tomorrow at 3:30. It is the FA Cup semi-final, no less. A rematch already?
Yeah.
After that thrilling 2-2 draw, Luke Moore. I mean,
you happy with
goodness.
A 3:30 kickoff, are you? A weird one.
I prefer it at 3, just a bit of, you know, continuity.
Is set. It because they can't show it if it's at 3 because of the law?
Ooh, quite possibly.
Maybe, I don't know.
Quite possibly.
There's no blackout this weekend, they can show it.
Yeah. So why is it not at 3 then?
That's a very good question. I suspect it would be more helpful.
Do you think maybe because
to, supporters,
because
it?
Of the right, absolute yeah. disaster with the transport and all that and bollocks, yeah. they've thought we'll give them extra half an hour to get there.
That covering hey, it.
We've, done, we've yeah. done our part.
All right, I'll give you half three.
Well, actually, it's getting back.
I know
that.
I know the FA Cup final was moved to 5 because it was better. I mean, basically, they were being led by the fact that more people are watching TV at 5, so it's essentially to kind of acquiesce to what TV audiences want.
That's frustrating.
It is frustrating.
Well, anyway, do people normally watch Columbo at 2:30?
I don't know. I think people are out enjoying themselves, Andy, before that.
Mm,
that's
you
know? Good.
Like
that's
you used
good.
To before you had your family.
Well, do we think Manchester City are going to be able to still stand up after the Atletico game?
Well, Carl Walker's probably be missing, and Kevin De Bruyne is reportedly going to be missing.
Yes.
To be fair, though, if it's only just those two, obviously two very good players, in particular De Bruyne, a key man for Guardiola, you think to yourself, after that night, well, they've got away okay.
I can't see how Carl Walker starts the game.
No, I don't.
It looked terrible.
Will Peaky Jack play?
I think he probably will.
Yeah.
Peaky Jack will play. I think, listen, and this is going to be annoying for you, Marcus, and I'll admit I did do this on purpose earlier when I encouraged you to select.
You're not going to slag me here now,
no,
are you?
No. Okay. I would never. When I encouraged you earlier to pick Mo Salah for 4 to score, which is coming up in a bit.
don't give it away.
I don't know if he's going to start.
Yeah, we haven't announced 4 to score yet, so I can change it.
You better get on that shared doc as soon as possible.
Okay, well, I'm not going to be picking De Bruyne or Andy.
No.
You said it was one of the great rivalries in the Premier League. Rio Ferdinand's not sure. He thinks that the rivalry, you need the off-field needle.
I agree with him.
Do you?
It's part of it.
I agree with him.
Because this is actually quite...
Well, it is open, it explodes at the weekend. I hope it massively kicks off.
Because this is fairly... It's quite professional to use that word. I mean,
too much mutual respect, isn't there?
Do you think?
Yeah, there is.
Do you know, Andy? You're careful. You're one step away from like blaming Gareth Southgate for this.
Yeah.
but it is interesting because Rio Ferdinand, he was talking about old Pizzagate, wasn't he, recently?
Yeah.
Apparently, Fabregas wasn't aiming for Ferguson, which I was a bit disappointed to hear. I think you'd take out the top man.
Cut off the head of the snake.
Exactly. Yeah. Chaos ensues.
I never found
stand
out.
Back and just watch.
Take out the Night King. All the other White Walkers die. I'll explain later.
I never found out how heavy the projectile was. I mean, was it a stuffed crust?
Nah, listen, I'll tell you what. If you're going stuffed crust, get out. No one has stuffed crust pizza and can get any respect.
It has its place.
No, it doesn't.
It's not,
oh, it doesn't.
In the bin. Doesn't.
In the bin.
Not at the top table.
It's what not even, table?
The staff... backroom staff.
Explain thing. To me in football. That tells you everything you need to know about Speller.
No,
it's good enough for the production team, but it's not for the big money.
I didn't mean that.
Give him a stuffed crust. That'll keep them quiet.
Stuffed crust with burger for the younger ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, now you're talking.
I'd like to think. I mean, ultimately, they're just taking it on board as soon as they can afterwards to get the old food in, right? Get the old fuel on board.
Yeah,
a little treat. I'd like to think it's gonna have been a Pizza Hut or a Domino's. We're going way back. There's no Deliveroo then, no Uber Eats. It's gonna be a Common or Garden high street pizza chain.
Yeah, Deco loved Telepizza back in the day. Barcelona's day.
Okay.
Barcelona days, yeah.
I mean, Deco enjoyed a lot of things at Barcelona back in the day. I mean, we haven't got time to go into the detail of what that was.
Easy now.
Yeah.
Easy now.
You changed your thoughts of school now, have you?
Thanks for check covering.
I heard you tapping away, don't worry.
So, I don't know.
What do you fancy for the game, though, Marcus? I think the people listening would like to hear your take on how the game's going to transpire.
Yeah, I think Liverpool are going to win.
Do you?
I do think Liverpool are going to win. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. I think we're going to... I think it could be like a 3-2 Liverpool.
Oh, that'd be very lovely. What a Saturday treat that would be.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm hoping for here, people.
I'll probably get a stuffed crust in.
Yeah.
do you know Liverpool play Newcastle at the end of the month, right?
Yeah.
And it's Saturday lunchtime and it's between the two semi-final legs of the Champions League, right? And Jurgen Klopp has kicked off saying that he wants the fixture to be
moved. He's often unhappy with the broadcast.
Well, I think Klopp,
I understand.
I think Klopp has actually been pretty good on the player welfare thing. I know he seems like he just genuinely care about it. But do you remember when the last time we argued for that, he just basically got really pissed off with Des Kelly live on telly?
That was a bit silly.
I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah, funny. Silly's not another word for bad, is it?
Yeah.
We well, like a lot of silly. You know?
Well, you've been a bit silly there. That could be, can it? It's about context, isn't it?
I suppose, yeah. But yeah, well, I liked it, but
he made him. He made himself look a bit silly.
He did.
Jurgen
he did.
Klopp. I think yeah. that's the
no,
issue.
No, it was entertaining.
It? Yeah.
But I think he.
Well, I'd like him. I'd like him to after the game.
To what? Apologize to Dez?
No, go re-up it.
Okay.
Go straight to the horse's mouth again and start blaming Des Kelly personally.
Can I have your?
I've
commitment?
Got nothing against Des Kelly. I don't know why I said that.
Can I have your commitment either? for an evening kickoff at Newcastle? I
yeah.
want it now.
Yeah,
I want it now.
Will you commit to that?
Yeah.
Will you make a manifesto pledge, Des, in the midterms? In the local elections.
No, yeah, get the council on board. Well, the other semi-final, of course, is on Sunday at 4:30. Chelsea against Crystal Palace. A big day for Crystal Palace. Every neutral should be behind Palace. And I'll tell you why. Look at the other three and what they've achieved, right? They all wanted a Super League, lest we forget. And Palace have never won the FA Cup. Never won a major trophy.
The players didn't want a Super League, did they?
I know, but don't take the wind out of my sails.
Sorry, yeah? Mate.
Trying to appeal to the...
I'll blow it back in.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go.
Luke, you know what it's like to see your team lift the FA Cup.
I do, yeah.
Why don't you tell Palace fans...
Does
what
it even
like.
Count if you don't beat Cardiff in the final?
Yeah. I'd like to... listen, I'd
make... Slightly easier run than Palace will have if they manage it.
I make no
they
bones about it.
They beat United on the way, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Absolutely yeah. battered them at Old Trafford. Thank you very much.
Exactly,
next.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably one of the most one-sided games you'll ever see.
It's the greatest robbery in the history of the Cup, and there's been a fair few.
We'll talk about this later. I would like Crystal Palace to win this.
Yes.
I would be very content for Chelsea to lose the semi-final. I don't mind if people are upset about that.
Mm.
I don't care if Chelsea fans don't like me for saying that. They've had plenty of joy over the years. I will be cheering on Sunday afternoon for Crystal Palace to beat Chelsea. In fact, I will be making excuses at my family's barbecue to get back to make sure I watch it at 4:30, and I hope Crystal Palace bloody well win it.
Good man. Did you see Mateta was being interviewed, and he broke off midway through the interview this week and said, "Can I ask something to the fans? When I hit the corner flag, I want them to say boom."
I don't really get it.
That's a bit weird.
Was it when he's celebrating? He
must
goes
be.
Over for a celebration.
Yeah, because if he's like on corners and he just like just holds the corner flag, are they going to boom? And he's like, no, not now.
Not now. Wait,
that wasn't a hit. That was a tap. It was, you know.
I saw Sky Sports News were running a VT this morning.
Should say there's a chant for him of the Wenger boys. Boom, boom, boom.
I mean, this is...
Love
this
that.
Is,
this so
is
that's
all,
maybe something...
This is all contextual. I think he means when he kicks the corner flag after he scores.
Yeah, no, it looks like a celebration.
When he has a shot.
On Sky Sports News this morning, they're running the VT that Cristiano Ronaldo's son scored for the Man United under-12s.
I did not score loads.
They showed the goal and they showed him doing the Ronaldo celebration as well.
Well,
and everyone loving it. It was actually quite chilling. The big news in this game.
He needs his own celebration, I think.
He does. I'm not sure if dad will let him. The big news of this game is the absence of Conor Gallagher.
Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, because Chelsea said to Crystal Palace that they will not be letting him play. And I think apparently Thomas Tuchel apologised to him personally for that.
Well, Vieira said it's not the best rule because the only one who will lose is Conor.
Well, Chelsea might lose.
I was going to say, I think Chelsea would be very, very pleased with that. Two Palace youngsters are looking like they're going to be back, Mitchell and Olise, so that's big for them. Get them back in there. So, yes, big day for Chelsea, though, as well, Andy. It's their last chance for a piece of silverware this season.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, for them, I guess it's about emotionally recovering from that game against Real Madrid.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, what news? What news?
Sean Dyche has been sacked.
Live on the show.
Shit the bed.
And we can cross over to Sean now. Sean Dyche sacked. Sean Dyche sacked as Burnley manager after almost 10 years in charge. Well, let's all, us as a presenting team and the listeners who are taking part and listening to the show, all at least take a moment to acknowledge and embrace the idea that this has happened while we're doing the show.
That's right.
Do you know what?
That's why we're excited.
I blame for this?
Go on.
I blame you.
Yeah.
Luke Moore,
yeah.
Because you've stigmatised losing to Norwich so much that the Burnley board feel that they've had to act.
This is incredible. They're 18th, of course. They're 4 points behind Everton, who they beat recently. What do you think of that? Is that...
I'm surprised.
Very
surprised.
Have they got Di Canio lined up, Andy?
Look, I think I think we're reacting to this exactly as it comes through. But yeah. It's been coming. I think he had a bit of a conflict around a new contract a while back. He signed a massive deal. I think in 2018, which is going to net him something. I mean, it was reported that he was earning like 3.5 million a year or something.
Yeah.
So this is a guy who's
who's on a big contract. He's got a good reputation, some would say rightly so, for the job he's done there. He's been there a long time. He's delivered them into the Premier League, and he's kept them there for a while. I think the signs were there. I've been saying it all season. I think this was the season they were going to get relegated. Yeah, we have to be real here. Yeah. We can't all sort of sit and live in this kind of idea that just because Burnley have always got out of it, they're always going to get out of it.
Agreed.
They're third from bottom, 4 points adrift into the relegation zone, and there's 8 games left.
Yeah.
And they've won 4 games all season. So, you know, when you look at the stats like that, it's not a massive surprise, other than the fact that he's been there since 2012.
I think it is a surprise, though.
I think it's a surprise.
Just because he's been there for so long, and they're not that much adrift.
I think you can argue there's logic to it, definitely. But, I mean, at the moment...
Depends if they get through, I guess.
At the moment, I mean, they've got two, like, Champions League level forwards,
yeah,
and they're still not managing to win.
Do you think that's maybe why? Do you think because he's not getting the best out of them?
I think you could argue that.
Well, the board have said, well, hang on, we've gone and got these decent, especially with Vikos, got a decent forward, and you're not getting the best out of him. And if you could show a bit of attacking tactical nous or whatever, then maybe he'd get the goals and get us out of
it. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a bit funny after that Norwich game, how he kind of threw Cornet under the bus for missing that chance.
I mean, it was a big chance, but still, yeah, Cornet's goals.
He's great for us, but you have to score that. I mean, really?
Yeah. He is right, though, in that.
Well, yeah, he should have scored it.
Yeah right. Okay.
Sure, you just don't have to say it.
Well, anyway, look, that news just hit us. And as I say, we thank the Burnley board for releasing that while we're doing the show. So we do appreciate
Thanks,
that. So no doubt we'll talk more of that on Monday. But yeah, blimey, how about that? But yes, but looking forward to the FA Cup semi-finals.
Absolutely.
I think that's what we're talking about.
Sean Dyche, it's the only way Sean Dyche will get a mention in the FA Cup semi-final chat.
And now it's time for Betway's Four to Score.
It is time for Betway's Four to Score. Entry is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selection matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Now, game number one is Man City v Liverpool, aforementioned. I think people listening will wonder if Marcus has got the bravery and the courage to stick to his guns or whether he's weaselly changed his selection halfway through the show. Marcus, who's your selection?
Well, you've stitched me up there because you're right. I did suddenly think, is Mo Salah going to start? You're not sure. That there's a bit of a question mark over that. I think, and I'm going to go slightly left field because often it is a left field player who scores in these sort of big games and the four to score doesn't always go to what we think. I'm going to go for Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Okay, fair enough.
So free kick, top corner, first goal.
You don't get any extra points for saying how he scores it.
But you get a bit extra kudos.
Well, you need kudos after your display today. after you not having the courage of your own convictions.
There we are.
Okay. If Mo Salah scores first, but you'd be upset. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought you might. Game number two, Newcastle v Leicester, Sunday 2:15. Andy, who have you gone for?
I do not need to self-justify. No. Chris Wood will score the first goal.
Oh, it's starting to cement his legacy as a new great number nine for Newcastle, Chris Wood. Pete has gone, has been given West Ham v Burnley. As you know, Burnley will now be without Sean Dyche. Let's hear what he had to say, but bear in mind he picked this player before Sean Dyche was sacked.
Pete here, West Ham versus Burnley. I'm going to go for J. Rodriguez, and that's it.
There we go, short and sweet from Pete, J. Rodriguez. And game number four is Chelsea v Crystal Palace, the second semi-final in the FA Cup. I've decided that because I came out quite hard for Crystal Palace and against Chelsea, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and say Jean-Philippe Mateta will score the first goal. And I hope we do get to see that celebration and everyone joins in. So in summary, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Chris Wood, J. Rodriguez and Jean-Philippe Mateta. If all four of those players score first, we will win at least a share of the £50,000 jackpot, which we will, of course, give to charity. If you want to play along, you must be over the age of 18 and do gamble responsibly. For more information, head to begambleaware.org. And also, of course, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game over at betway.com/4to-score.
Love that. Right, everybody. It's time for this.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Marcus's game. Oh, of course. I can't be playing the game because Andy thrashed me last week, and now it's Luke's turn to have a shot at the title.
Yes.
It's a title bout, Andy Brassel.
Wow.
Andy, you gubbed me last week, but now you have to face off against the mighty Luke Moore.
I want to know, have the people transferred their affection from you to Luke?
No.
That's the question.
Andy, after 15 years of doing this show, there are no fans of this show who've ever transferred their affections from Marcus to me. Trust me on that.
You've got your fans.
There's Yeah, and I love both of them equally.
Yeah.
I would just say, in horse racing, people study the form, right? Who beat who and by how many lengths and all the rest of it. You beat Marcus 5-0. Before that, Marcus beat me 5-0.
Yeah.
So I think you're in further.
I think it's 4-1, actually.
Oh, 4-1. Okay.
But as Jimmy to the Bee points out, it's actually just the first, it's a 3-0.
Yeah.
It's like tennis, isn't it? Men's tennis.
It doesn't matter. You still beat me heavily, and you still beat him
and
heavily.
And you won the third place playoff in the World Cup.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I always do.
Yeah.
Right, everybody. Marcus's game, of course.
Just managers, then.
We are doing managers. You know the drill. If they have managed an international side, that does count. Mm-hmm. We're not interested in under-21s. We're not interested in B-sides.
Yeah.
And all that kind
of
stuff.
Caretakers are fine.
Caretakers are fine, yes, absolutely. And it doesn't matter if they've managed just for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bielsa and
Leroy Rosinha.
Yeah. That was 5 minutes, I think.
Yeah, it was, yeah. That kind of thing.
Let's
not argue over the minutes. Okay.
Let's do it. So I'm first.
Luke, you are first.
Okay, great.
You are the challenger, of course. This man has managed 5 teams.
Okay.
Let's see how you react to this. It's Glenn Roeder.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get the old cogs going there, my old son.
Okay.
Glenn Roeder.
Interesting.
We know how many. Which teams? how many
can I name?
What's your bid, Andy? Are you feeling confident about old Glenny baby?
No, not massively.
Not massively. Andy is scrunching his face up.
Ah, I don't know what to go for here.
Yeah.
This is tough.
Have you seen the scrunch in Andy's face?
Do you know what's really affecting me? Is I was really deeply affected by Edison Cavani when I played you. for some reason, my mind, I had him playing for Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, but you should have done. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Look at the scrunch.
Okay, I'm going to go 3.
3! Sweet spot. Surely that is the sweet spot, Andy.
Well, it is
Brassel.
If you can do them.
Andy?
Yeah, you have your 3.
Yes, okay.
Confident Luke Moore is the Luke Moore that all of his fans want to see.
I can't name 3.
Right.
So I'll see how I get on.
Far away.
West Ham United.
Yeah.
That's in the bag.
Yeah.
Andy's local club, Newcastle United.
Yeah, so they were the two I thought you'd both have.
Right, so this is like an educated guess.
Yeah, it has to be.
And this is really going to tell us a lot about how the game's going to go today, whether I get this or not.
Uh-huh.
I am going to go for...
Come on.
Ipswich.
It was Norwich City.
Oh, I knew it was one of them!
Luke Moore.
He had the 3, he had Norwich.
Did he?
Shit!
Well, that makes you feel better. Does it?
What are the other two?
The other two, Gillingham, player-manager.
Yeah.
And Watford.
That. Okay. Huh.
But yeah, West Ham, Newcastle, and
gutting.
Norwich. That is a show. It did good effort there. So you had 3, did you? Correct?
Good effort, mistaking Norwich for Ipswich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had Norwich written down, to be fair to him.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So Andy's shown his hand there. He wasn't bluffing.
No.
Which a good card player wouldn't do.
You didn't fancy
do.
Going for 4, no? You wouldn't have got Watford.
No, I didn't know either of the other two.
Well, he didn't fancy going for 4. He didn't do it, but he's got the point. It's 1-0 to the champ. Andy, you're up first. There's a chance here.
Okay.
This is the game's opened up. And Glenn Roeder is a conservative start.
Yeah.
That's your first half in a bit of a boring semi-final. Second half, it's opening up now. 9 teams. It's Big Eck. It's Alex McLeish.
Oh, my God.
Alex McLeish.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. There's teams to be had here.
That's. I think that's quite difficult.
A couple of pitfalls, but there are point. There's guesses to be had.
Okay, it's not me first, is it? It's Andy. Yeah. Okay.
Go on, Brassel. What you got, baby boy? Give me a number.
I'm gonna go 4.
Yep.
4.
You're going to go for 4?
Or 4. Okay.
4 is the number.
4.
Luke Aaron
That's
Moore.
That's annoying because I can definitely do 4.
Okay.
I can definitely do 4. Now, this comes down to the very heart of the game. Do I gamble?
Come on.
Or do I just say, I don't think there's any chance in the world he can't do 4. My general philosophy is I want to go out on my own terms. So I'm going to go 5.
Oh, it's a big call. Andy, can I hear 6?
No.
5.
Jesus.
Alex McLeish. 5 teams he's managed. I this is doable, I honestly think.
Aston Villa.
Yes.
Birmingham City. Rangers. Scotland.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that what you had? The 4 you had?
No. Two of those I didn't have.
Oh!
Shit.
Come on, Luke Moore. You can do this.
I'm just going to go Sunderland.
Oh.
Fuck it.
Motherwell, Hibernian.
Yeah.
I remember the old Hibs. Rangers, Scotland, Birmingham City, Aston Villa, Nottingham Forest, Genk, Zamalek.
I had Hibs and Zamalek, typically.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought you'd add Hibs there. I thought Hibs was quite...
I just hope the listeners respect my bravery and
no,
my courage.
No, I do. I think they do. I think they do. I think you're getting fans...
I definitely respect your bravery. Because you're winning and the dirty work.
I think you're adding fans to more Mount. They like it to see an attacking approach.
No, it's Marcus Mount. It's got to be more.
That's a different Mount.
Mountain.
Just in between Mason Mount and Marcus Mount.
Exactly. There we are.
I don't think Mason's done enough in this game to get a Mount yet.
Mm. Mason, no, as in Mason Mount. Mason. Yeah.
Come on.
It's the spell of Swamp, as far as I'm concerned.
Don't ever go at the game's master. Okay, Luke, you need this.
I know. I do. I'm too gung ho, aren't I? I'm Jimmy White.
Oh yeah, I always call myself Jimmy White. Get your own one.
All right, Kevin Costner in Tin Cup. Can't better. Remember the
much,
the character.
Much better. Yeah. Much better. Okay. Interesting how you're gonna go with this one. This man has managed eight teams.
Okay.
It's Unai Emery.
Oh, what chance have I got against Brattle?
You'd be surprised.
Okay, eight, you say?
Eight. Take your time.
He'll be able to do all of them. That's the problem.
No, he won't do. Just concentrate on your own game. How many can you get? Think about how many you're going to guess. Bloody, bloody, blah. Calm your nerves.
Okay. I'm gonna try and do five.
Admirable.
Six.
Well, I can't do seven, so you have to get the name of six, and it's over. Do you know what? I know you can do six.
I don't mean to be a twat about this, but yes, it is over.
All right, seven.
Are you going to go for it?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Luke Moore. Yes. Yeah. All right, Andy.
You can do eight if you want.
No, I'm not doing eight.
Can you do all eight?
No, I don't think I'm
so far away from seven, it's unbelievable. I've let my arrogance get away with me there.
No, but what you're doing, you're stealing the moment of glory from me.
Exactly.
And that is admirable.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Well done.
Okay.
Patronising this one.
Well, he's already won it, old Leon over here.
I know, exactly.
Right, come on, Luke. Come on, Luke Moore.
Okay.
Do the ones you definitely know first.
PSG.
One.
Arsenal.
Two.
Good evening. Sevilla.
Three.
Villarreal.
Four.
Right, here's where we get. Here's where it gets a bit busy.
So you need, what did you say, seven?
I'll do three more.
Need three more.
If I guess three clubs in a row, then...
Yeah, three. Yeah.
Okay, Betis.
Oh, dear.
I just thought there might be a chance he just pissed someone off at some point.
Why not? Yeah. Enough of that. Yeah. Lorca Deportiva was the one
that
Andy didn't
have. No, I didn't have Lorca.
Okay.
Almeria.
Yeah.
Almeria, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Valencia.
Yeah.
Spartak Moscow.
Jesus, man. It's hard against Brassel. That's all I'll say.
It's a difficult one.
I've gone out on my own terms every single one.
You have. Yeah. You have indeed.
It's a big win for Brassel. Congratulations to you, Andy.
Thank you. There's a couple left. And I think that the lineup here that the production staff have had of me is slightly cruel.
Okay.
Because if maybe it was different, it could have been different. But anyway, Andy, you're up first for the fourth man. We play for a bit of fun now, a bit of respect, a bit of pride for Luke Moore. He's managed nine teams. It's Gary Megson.
Oh, Jesus.
Megson?
Yeah. Would you have preferred, on that crucial one, would you have preferred Emery or Megson?
Yeah, Megson, because I don't think Brassel could do that many.
Mm.
I'll give myself more of a chance.
Yeah.
Having said that, I don't think I can do
Megson. I was going to say,
Megson either.
I'd struggle with Megson, if I'm honest. As all his all the fans did of his team.
Yeah. He wasn't the most popular manager in the world.
Poor old Megs.
I feel like I should have more than this.
Go on, Andy, what you got?
So I'm going to go for more than this.
Go on.
Five?
Five?
I can't do six. Go five.
Yeah, it's five. I'm okay, let's see if you can do it.
Okay.
Bit of hubris here. West Brom.
Add that one.
Yeah.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Norwich.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
Aston Villa.
Aston Villa. No, I don't think so, Andy. Yeah.
A point to more.
Yeah, there you go.
Nottingham Forest.
Forest. Yeah. So Norwich City, Blackpool, Stockport County, Stoke City, Blackpool. West Brom, Nottingham Forest, Leicester City, Bolton Wanderers, Sheffield Wednesday. So Aston Villa.
So if I get this last one, I've got a chance on the second leg.
Well, it's Barcelona-esque, isn't it? Yeah. This man, Luke Moore, has managed eight teams. You'll definitely know one of them. It's Jim Smith.
Oh, ego.
Big Jimmy Smith.
Right. Eight, you say?
Eight.
Legend, the late, great Jim Smith.
Yeah.
Very, very popular down the South Coast. Not just for the obvious reasons, but he was assistant for a while as well.
He was, yeah.
I will go out of the eight. Brassel's got an annoying... He's got a weirdly annoying knowledge of like lower league football around a certain period. Yeah. Jim Smith's right in the middle of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll start off with... I can definitely do three.
Okay, I think that's very good.
Yeah.
Andy?
I'll go big again. I'm going to go five.
Five.
Oh, okay.
He's killed you off there, Luke. You're not going to go six, are you?
I am.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to go six.
Love that. Love it. All right.
You want Andy? Seven?
Oh, all right.
So boy, that's why you won't get an auction, Brassel. Yeah, that's the problem. Well, he's like a Terminator.
Not when I'm bidding like millions of pounds more than I actually have in my pocket. Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
okay.
Well, maybe I want you to spend those millions, Brassel. That's the point, and our listeners do too.
He certainly has them.
How many did I bid?
Six.
Yeah, Jesus.
Six.
Okay.
Right.
Derby County.
Derby, yes, of course.
Portsmouth. Oxford United.
Well played.
Newcastle.
Very well played.
Now the well runneth dry.
Yes, so you got two more.
Two more.
I'm impressed you got four, actually.
Okay, let's try another team in the Midlands. Let's go for Stoke City.
Unlucky, sir. See what you were doing there. Blackburn Rovers, Birmingham City.
Ah, could have gone for Birmingham, yeah.
Yeah, the other two. And
QPR. So,
Colchester United and QPR.
Yeah, there's
yes.
the eight, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they were.
Did you have six, yeah? Have five, did you?
I had five, yeah.
Okay, great. Good game, good standard. Just had to be on the wrong end of it, but it happens.
Yeah, it does. It sometimes just doesn't go your way. And he got lucky there, I think we can all agree, as he did last week as well, but he is still the champ.
Great news for our international listeners who just had to sit through... almost 10 minutes of Jim Smith, Gary Megson and Alex McLeish's managerial careers. Absolutely one for the purists. Those of you in the US who are listening, if you want to direct message me on Twitter or Instagram asking me the context for all those managers, I'll happily fill in why, or in Megson's case, why not.
At least McLeish, yeah. They might know. Yeah, I hold my hands up at Megson and Smith, but I didn't choose them.
No. There we go.
Or did I?
I mean, the production team's quite young as well. It's like, it's weird how they pick them out.
Well, that's, aren't you proud?
Kind of. See how the edit turns out.
Yeah, no, true enough. True enough. Well, there we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, sponsored by Betway. If you wake up on Saturday morning and you just cannot wait to get amongst the football, fear not. We've got a brand new episode of At The Match from St. James's Park out first thing in the morning. It's a brilliant listen, is it not, Andy Brassel?
I would say so. I'm interested to see if you say so.
Well, I will say so, but I have to wait because it's out tomorrow morning on Football Ramble Presents, instead of its usual Monday slot, because we have something very special out that day. All will be revealed next week, of course.
It's worth pointing out that if you love the Football Ramble, we very, very much appreciate you subscribing and listening to the show, but you're not getting the full Football Ramble experience if you don't subscribe to Football Ramble Presents. Upfront's on there, best show out there about women's football. You got On the Continent, Dotton's intro for On the Continent Thursday, an all-time great broadcasting intro, not just in podcasting, but across the industry generally. Brassel's on that every week as well. You've got At The Match, which Brassel does, which is amazing. You've got a new series coming out next week. We're going to run up the flagpole. There's loads going on. So what you must do right now is pause, go onto your podcast app and search for Football Ramble Presents and hit that subscribe button to make sure you never miss all that amazing content that's on our sister channel, because it's well worth it.
Absolutely right. A few people have tweeted me saying, did you unlock the gate to the weekend yesterday? Of course I bloody did.
He always does.
Of course
it's
I
first
did.
First thing he does.
Absolutely right.
First thing he does.
Oh, you've got to listen.
It's easy to forget it the day before a bank holiday, though.
It is, yeah. Absolutely right.
No one would have blamed you.
No, well, but
it's not easy to forget when you're a professional weekend opener.
Exactly.
You know, the guy didn't do 5 years at weekend opener university to be doctor of the opening of the weekend.
He's damn
to
right.
forget it.
Five very enjoyable years. But if you're not sure, Just put your ear out the window, and as soon as you hear Fireball by Pitbull, then you're away.
Heavy is the head that wears the weekend crown. And Marcus Speller's neck muscles are better than most.
Who would you leave the keys with if you were going away for the weekend?
Oh, well, let's cross that bridge as and when. Probably Pitbull himself, actually. You'd probably get 7 days straight.
He'd have to be wearing the white suit, though, right?
Oh, I'll tell you who could apply for the job now.
Go on.
Sean Dyche. Nothing on the weekends these days.
There we are, you see. I pay more than minimum wage. Thank you very much, as I said, to listening to the Football Ramble preview show. Part of the Acast Creator Network is old Football Ramble. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you on Monday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.